Hi, my name is Sarah, hailing from Germany, outside of Heidelberg at the moment. I'm a songwriter and a podcaster. Power Bites isn't a power trip. Think of it like a power bar to encourage you and me and challenge you and me to keep up our race together. Thanks for listening. All right, so we're going to keep going. The Book of Joshua. We're the last verse that we highlighted was Joshua chapter 7, verse 6. We ended there, that last section, that last podcast segment at 7, verse 6. And we're going to continue now through chapter 8, verse 30. Then Joshua built an altar to the Lord, the God of Israel, and Mount Ebal. So let's pray. Lord, I pray that this podcast is clear. I pray you clear out my heart. None of this is, no war against the enemy is possible without our hearts being clear and our minds being set on you. And I pray that you would make clear that asking why is better than not asking anything. And that you are ready to engage us and to use us in the battle to glorify your name here on this earth today. In Jesus' name, amen. So we ended last week with Joshua falling to the earth and tearing his clothes before the Lord because they had just been defeated against the men of Ai. And so now we're going to hit verse 7, Joshua chapter 7, and we're going to get into a tough segment here where Joshua has some real doubts and asks the Lord, why? Alas, O Lord God, why did you ever bring this people over the Jordan? Only to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. He's having doubts about the whole thing. If only we had been willing to dwell beyond the Jordan, as if this whole thing was Joshua's idea or the children of Israel's idea to begin with. Remember, there is something to be said for remembering what God has done. Now we've got a little twist here that Joshua introduces that maybe the children of Israel should have just been satisfied. Hey, they would still be in Egypt had it not been for their God. How many times have I been there where I see what's ahead of me. I've taken a beating for consequences or run up against the same wall again with my doubts and my fears. You know, and they're different. My fears are mostly to do with like the inconsistency of my voice and, you know, how it's a truck. And then feeling like the Lord is calling me on to use it. And I just, like, sang in church last Sunday and it was a disaster. I've had this coating on my vocal cords for the last 2 weeks. I was not warmed up at all. And my voice is like a semi-truck. It has to be warmed up. And I don't even think I had done any talking really that morning. I just went to church. And that is in front of my face. That can become more real than what God has already done. This disaster in front of Joshua has become more real than what God has already done. Do you have something in your life that has become more real Maybe it's a problem in a relationship, a problem in a marriage, a problem in getting around this calling in your life. How is it going to be done? It becomes the problem, becomes more real than what God has already done. Oh Lord, verse 8, what can I say? Now it's getting accusatory. Since Israel's turned their back before their enemies, for the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear of it. This is your doing. You dropped the ball. And they will surround us and cut off our name from the earth. And what will you do for your great name? Oh God. How can you use this for your glory? Is what he's saying. But I want to submit that Joshua's why is better than nothing. Saying nothing. Packing up your spiritual bags and walking out. God did not answer in the way you wanted to on that thing 10 years ago. And from then on, you sought to take control of the reins. That's it. You never got to this place where Joshua is. I want to submit that asking God why is way better than walking off the field. Listen to the Lord's encouraging words. I know that people like to paint God as some, you know, motions on a sleeve, ready to knock people over or take people out. But that is not this God if you read verse 10. It's a notable verse. He's not lashing out. If you're waiting for God to backhand Joshua, that's not this verse. If you're waiting, if you've already decided that God is this kind of a God, that he just takes people out and he just willy-nilly stomps over people, that is not this verse. Not going to tolerate back talk, which, you know, in the back door way was sort of what the pain there. That's what was happening with Joshua. Going to give him time out. That's not what happens in this verse. So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. The temptation, when that problem gets bigger than what God has done for you, is to give up. Is to sit down. Go back. Well, let's pack up our bags and go back over the Jordan. Is to walk out. Oh, please be a Joshua and air it out. And rise up. Rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Why is it that you've given up? Israel has sinned. And they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. And they have taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. There is a problem in the camp. There is a problem. And if you are a child of God, God is not letting it go. He will poke you. He will prod you. He will chase you down until you give up that sin. But don't mess. Get it out. We'll talk about that tomorrow, how you can waste your time running around that sin. Peace out.
Okay, thanks for listening. Join me for the next part of this series, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, usually, you know. I'll let you know. Find Underground Crowds on Twitter or undergroundcrowds.com.